Well, good evening. It is good to see all of you again. It has been just a couple of weeks,
but Alyssa and I are glad to see you and to be back with you all this evening. If you will, just remember Alyssa and I and your prayers as we'll be spending the next couple of weeks traveling, both to Georgia and then to Abilene, with doing some things for that. Just lots of the traveling and just some prayers would be, remembering us would be great. Other than that, I would say it's good to see Annie. I haven't seen Annie for a long time. In fact, her and I had to go back, let's see. I think we were smaller than her daughter Lulu when we first were introduced. And we've been friends for many, many years. And it's so good to have her and her daughter here tonight and to spend time with her. If you will, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we'll be spending some time in that later on. That'll be where we spend primarily a big chunk of the text tonight. And as you're doing that, I want to tell you about a quick story. An angry crowd brings a woman before the knight of the land. They are proclaiming her to be a witch. The knight asks, "What proof do you have? How do you know that she is a witch?" And they begin to point out rather innocent things about her, saying, "Well, she has a black cat. She has warts on her fingers. We have seen her interacting with frogs and toads before." And then one man bravely steps forward with the greatest proof of all. And he says, "She turned me into a newt." Everyone stops and just looks at him with disbelief. The knight raises his visor up and questions and says, "A newt?" The man mutters under his breath, seeing as preposterous as it was, and says, "Well, wrong one. I got better." That's what he says. He says, "Well, I got better." This is exactly how leprosy was treated in the ancient times. And this is something that you generally did not just get over or be able to proclaim, "I got better from." Leprosy was a death sentence. And you might ask, "Well, Ryan, why are we talking about leprosy tonight?" Well, there's a beautiful, I think, tie between the idea of leprosy and sin, and we'll cover that in the later part of the lesson. But we've been talking about that in a class on miracles, and Jesus' conquering of leprosy, we'll see in Mark chapter 1, is just amazing. And the compassion that is shown there from the Lord it just floored me when we read that. I want to begin with asking, what is leprosy? If you turn over, and you don't have to do this now, but turn over in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, the Lord told the people exactly what leprosy was and was all about. Here's a good summary of what it is. He says, "And the priest then should look, and if there is a white swelling of the skin, and it has turned the hair white, and there is quick raw flesh, and the swelling." Those are three, those indicators of leprosy. You'd see an open wound, it would be all white around it, like the flesh around is beginning to die. The hair, that was any hair in that area, would have turned white. Not with age and respect and maturity, as most people with white hair have. It is instantly brittle and dead hair. And you can see the raw flesh under the skin. It's not pleasant. There would also have been an odor that goes with this. In fact, these descriptions match the very first case of leprosy that the Bible talks about in Exodus chapter 4. And verse 6 says, "The Lord furthermore said to him," this is Moses, "Now put your hand into your bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. This disease was known in the world. The Egyptians feared it. There was no cure at this time. The nation of Israel would fear it because there's no cure for this disease. It's very painful and lasts your entire life. Now, luckily for us, modern-day medicine has provided a cure for leprosy. It does exist still. And you see that in a lot of third-world countries. You'll find people that do have it. And the pain that goes with this, the stories that come out with just how awful leprosy is. And in fact, what's fascinating about it is there's only two beings in the world that can actually carry leprosy: man and armadillos. So be wary of any armadillos. But on a serious note, this is a serious disease. We begin in chapter 13 with talking about the identification processes. First off, if someone thought you had it, you had to go to see a priest, one of the priests. So you'd have to go to the temple. It'd be a very public thing, this identification process. Well, then the priest would begin to look at your wounds all over your body, trying to identify and make sure, is this leprosy? Well, then if the priest could immediately identify what this disease was, the results were such as they would cast you out of the camp, out of the temple, out of the city. Wherever you're at, you would be cast out and not allowed back in. And as you were being cast out, you would be stripped of all clothes, minus what would save your dignity, so that everybody could see the wounds that would be generally all over your body or in specific areas. You weren't going to be able to hide at all what has become of you. They would also shave, for in the case of men, they would shave your head completely and shave off any facial hair that you had. You would be completely uncovered. And you would have to walk out of the city, walk wherever you went, covering up your mouth and saying these words, unclean, unclean, so that people knew they needed to give you a wide berth of area so that they would not be anywhere close to you to contract this horrible, horrible disease. And not only then were you cast out of the camp, completely uncovered, but you were forced to live alone outside so that nobody else would risk getting this disease. And if they were maybe on a healing process, if there was some way that the disease had been cured, they wouldn't get a secondary case of it. This was how serious and awful this disease was. But the Lord left hope. The Lord left hope for the case of such an awful disease. Chapter 14 is all about the cleansing rituals that go with this. If, for an amazing reason, divine reason, you were healed, there was given you the chance to come back into the people. If you were healed, there was a specific process you had to go through to be considered clean. First off, the priest would have to come to you again and look and inspect all over your body to see the state of your wounds, to see the state of the disease. And if they could tell there was nothing still happening, they would say, you are now allowed to be cleaned and shown cleansed, and now we'll perform this part of the ritual. First off, they would bring out a couple of doves, of birds, and some other of these cleansing ingredients, hyssop and such, as we talked about before. And they would sacrifice one of the birds. The other one they would eventually let go to represent your freedom from the disease. And then after 8 days of being considered cleansed, you would have to go to the temple with two male goats, young male goats, as your sin and guilt offerings. And you have to sacrifice them in front of the temple, again, showing to everybody that I was once unclean, I was once in a state of death, living death, but now I am clean, I can be counted amongst you all again. Leprosy was considered nothing but short of a living death. The isolation, the sadness, what was coming to happen in your life was awful, miserable. But the people called this the disease of living death. And there are some, the Bible actually has some really fascinating and notable cases of disease and some things that go along with them. And I want to look at that for just a moment. The first is how leprosy is used as a punishment. If you were to turn over to Numbers chapter 12, you see what happens with Miriam. She and Aaron have come before Moses and are saying, Moses, who are you? Who are you to be the voice of God, to be the only one He talks to? What gives you the right? You're the younger of us. Why do you have this honor? And we can't share in this. And the Lord begins to intercede, calls them all to the tabernacle to talk with them in private, and gives Miriam and Aaron a good lashing about how Moses is His chosen individual, how he's done the things that God has asked. And then when the cloud of God has left the tabernacle, they turn to look at their sister, and behold, she is completely leprous. In fact, in advanced stages of it, as far as they could tell. And she is immediately sent out of the camp. And her brothers intercede in her behalf, praying to God, asking for the punishment to be lifted. And the Lord relents, and after 7 days, the leprosy is gone, and she's brought back into the tent, or into the camp. So we see Miriam in Numbers chapter 12. Another one we see is Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. I'm going to read that for you just because it's a very interesting case that happens here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, there it is. Uzziah has been a good man. He's been a good king. He has done everything the Lord has asked. In fact, he's done his best to bring the people back to him. And he's had some great victories because of the Lord, but yet it's gotten to his head. Starting in verse 16, it says, "But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." Again, big no-no. It's very clear who was supposed to be doing this. This is the priests. The king was not allowed to do this. Yet in his pride, he makes a big mistake. "And Azariah the priest entered in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the son of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God.' But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, became enraged. And while he was enraged at the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on the forehead, and they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the end of to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of that land. And in verse 23, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave, which belonged to the kings. And they said, 'For he is a leper.'" Uzziah's pride got the best of him. And the Lord uses a punishment to show that even though you are and have done great and mighty things, I am the Lord and I am to be respected. And my commands are to be treated as such. And he lived the rest of his life a leper, separated from his family, from the throne, and the Lord. In fact, he's not even died. And when he dies, he's not even buried with the right honors. His body was not put into the tomb of the kings, but was buried in a field owned by the kings. His bones never taken to his family's grave because he was a leper. This is a severe punishment for him. The Lord has used leprosy as punishment. But also, leprosy is used to show the power of God. We see in 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman. Of how the story of Naaman shows the power of God. How the name of the Lord and his acts can cure anybody who comes to him. Naaman, we know, is a mighty man of the nation of Assyria. High ruling officer in the army. Yet he was a leper. Strange that they would have a man of such character or such power, still as a leper, ruling in this case. But yet that's how Assyria worked. But Naaman has done everything he can to get rid of his leprosy. He's seen all sorts of prophets, of magicians, going before foreign gods, seeing all sorts of doctors to try to get this cured, yet nobody can help him. And after the nation, Assyria has conquered the nation of Israel, has brought the northern tribes out, his wife has a little servant girl from Israel, who tells her, "I wish that my master could go see the prophet that is in Israel of Jehovah God. He could help him." So Naaman says, "All right, fine, let me go and see if this man can really help me or not, if this God of a nation we've conquered can actually help." So he goes before the king of Israel and says, "I've heard that you can cleanse me of my leprosy." And the king of Israel thinks, "What is happening here? I can't do anything about this. I can't cure you. You're just here to cause a war, to cause ruckus. Naaman, go." But Elisha sends word and says, "No, he is supposed to be here. He's come to see me, and I can do something about this. Send him." So Naaman approaches, ends up at Elisha's place, and this is where the story gets interesting, because Naaman's expecting Elisha to come out and put on a show. In fact, that's what he says. In verse 11, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand all over the place and cure the leper. He was expecting a show. He was expecting to be treated with honor and respect because of who he is and what his position was in the nation of Assyria. But Elisha has a higher respect in calling for the Lord and the law. He knows he cannot be in the presence of a leper, so he sent his servant out to tell him, Naaman, all you have to do is go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. He's furious. He feels disrespected. So he leaves. But luckily, Naaman has some level-headed servants who say, hold on. If he had told you to go do something amazing, strong, impossible, something that would bring you honor, Naaman, you would do it in a heartbeat. You know you would. But instead, he told you to do something simple. Told you to dip in the Jordan 7 times. Why don't you do it? What's the harm that would come? And Naaman gets a more level head and says, all right. He goes and he does such. And when he comes out of the water, about the 7th time, his flesh is like that of a newborn baby. It's pure. It's whole. There's no more trace of the leprosy. What joy he felt and saw as he comes back to Elisha, who then can come into his presence. And he tries to give him all sorts of honors from that. And Elisha says, it wasn't me that did this. It's the power of God. To show that it is God who does things through simple means to cleanse you of a horrible, horrible disease. But lastly, leprosy was used to show the deity of Christ. And this is where we turn into Mark chapter 1. So follow along for these short 5 verses in Mark chapter 1. There's a powerful story that is told here. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in the unpopulated areas. And they were coming to him from everywhere. This is a fascinating story because minus the instance of Naaman and of Miriam being healed by God, nobody has ever been cleansed of leprosy. Since the writing of the law, since the creation of the cleansing rituals, 1,500 years, nobody has ever been cleansed of leprosy. Now the hope is finally being able to be realized here. But notice what the man says here. I want to look at the details here. The leper asked, it's really interesting that he says here, Lord, if you're willing, if Jesus was willing to do this, remember, the man is supposed to be unapproachable, untouchable. This man is most likely deformed. We do not know exactly how long he had leprosy for. We can assume it's for a while. And he's going to also carry this odor of death around with him, of rotten disgust. He says, Lord, if you're willing, cleanse me. He does not ask to be healed. He does not ask to be made whole. He asks to cleanse me. Nowhere in the Old Law have there been promises of healing of leprosy. The law provided hope and a clause for cleansing. And all this man really wanted was to be cleansed so he could resume just a fragment of his old life. To be able to be in the presence of his family, of his loved ones, to be able to go into the temple and worship again. Because by the way, if you wanted to worship in the temple as a leper, you had to go in way before everyone else, stand in a special box that was 3 feet, maybe 4 feet wide, with walls that went past your head. You couldn't interact with any of the other worshipers there. All you could do is listen and hear what was happening. That's not worship. We've talked about what worship is. He's isolated from everybody. And then after it was all done, he had to wait for everybody else to get out of the temple. And then he could have left. This isn't living. It was a living death for him. He asks to be cleansed and not healed. But look what Jesus does. Look what Jesus does. He says, I am willing. This man's state of his life, the state of his disease, did not repulse him. And the man's faith is warmed and welcomed by Jesus. He can see past the disease, past what's on the outside, and see his heart. He says, I am willing. And then he reaches out and he touches him. This man must not have felt the touch of anybody for so many years. Nobody would get close enough to him to be able to be touched. And the first person to touch him is the Son of God, the Messiah, to cleanse him. And then Jesus issues a command. After he touches him, he says, I am willing. He says, be cleansed. And immediately, the leprosy is gone. All the sores on his body are closed. The wounds are made whole. The scabs are gone. And the scent of death is completely washed away. The man's perspective on life has been changed so drastically. Jesus shows such great mercy and compassion for this man who was living a literal death. But there's a couple of interesting cases when you go back and look. Some commonalities between all these cases of leprosy here. The first three, Miriam, Uzziah, Naaman, all suffered from a similar spiritual ailment. Not only did they suffer from the leprosy, they suffered from the spiritual ailment of pride. Miriam going before her brother saying, who are you, Moses? Uzziah going in with the censer of incense saying, I'm going to do something that's I have no right to do. And Naaman's pride is saying, how dare he send me to do something so simple as to wash in the dirty river Jordan? But all four of them have the same heart in the end. They're cleansed by the same changing of heart. They've all showed humility. They all show humility towards the touch of God. Now Uzziah's not cleansed himself, but we see humility in his life as he runs out, knowing what has happened to him, that he's done the wrong. But Miriam is cleansed because of humility. Her brother's humility as well. And Naaman finally humbling himself. And this man, this leper, coming before the Lord in a humble state, metaphorically, maybe even physically, on his knees, saying, Lord, please, cleanse me. We might ask this morning, well, Ryan, or this evening, Ryan, why are we talking about leprosy? What's the application here? How does this apply to us? What does this mean to us? Well, leprosy carries a mighty powerful illustration. We'll look at leprosy as sin in our lives. I want us to think tonight, when I sin, what must my spiritual self look like to God? What does sin do to us in our lives? We're told that it's a separator, it's a divider, it's an isolator from the Lord. Well, that's what leprosy does, is it not? It isolates you from everybody else in the world. But just as like leprosy had no natural occurring cure this time, there it is. Man has no cure to the problem of sin. We are all born with the same spiritual flesh of an infant. We're all born pure and whole. No blemishes, nothing to separate us from the Lord. But as soon as sin enters into our life, enters into our spiritual life, it begins to open up these sores, these wounds that will fester and rot. That's what sin does to us. In fact, look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 about sin and what we should do with people that are living sinful lives, that are choosing to live and act in sinful ways. We should be familiar with the summary of chapter 5, the man who's living in a wrong relationship with his stepmother. And he says in verse 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be made a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. He's saying, get it out of your presence. Get this sin out from the family. And in verse 13, the last half, he says, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. Get him gone. Get that sin out of the presence of the people, out of the family, because it's going to corrupt and infect and cause so many other problems, just like leprosy does. Sin is a spiritual form of leprosy, and we cannot come back into the family, into the fold, until this problem has been cured, just like with leprosy. But just like ancient leprosy, it needed God's hand to be cured. There was no natural cure, only God's hand had the cure, just like with sin, we need God's hand. Man, God knows that man cannot bear to be isolated from one another. We crave companionship. We crave the company of people. Physically, if you were a leper, you were kept isolated and alone. And spiritually, when we sin, when we let sin control our lives, it forces us away from the presence of Him, of our brothers and sisters, of those who we proclaim to care and love so much. It forces us away from them. It isolates us. It keeps us alone. So He does the only thing that any good healer would do, is God provides a remedy. He provided a remedy, a way to be cured. Physically, under the old law, He gave a law, a command, a hope, so that the people could be brought back into the camp after the disease is cured. And spiritually, He gave His Son for us. The means for our cure is His Son, who died on the cross for our sins, so that our sins could be cured and could be forgiven, so that we could be made white and whole once again. Not only does He provide a remedy, though, He also provided the offering. As I said, part of the ritual of cleansing was bringing offerings before the Lord. You brought birds. You brought lambs. Other forms of offerings before the Lord for your sin and your guilt. And the Lord provided one simple but yet powerful offering. He gave His Son on the cross for us, so we never had to do it again. And then not only did He give offerings, but He also gave a marking of the blood. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 14 for just a moment. As I said, this is the chapter of cures, of the rituals here. And there's something fascinating that happened with the marking of blood here. And first off, in the cleansing, the first cleansing ritual with the birds, you would sacrifice one of those birds. And in verse 7, it says, "He shall then sprinkle 7 times the one who's to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean. And then you shall let the living bird go free over an open field." He would take the blood of that first bird, and they would sprinkle you 7 times with it, showing the people, "I've been cleansed. The blood of the sacrifice holds for me." And then in verse 14, when they have made sacrifice of the lamb, it says, "Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one who is cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot." There was a special markings of blood, so that again, everybody could see and know, this man is cleansed. This man has been made pure in the sight of the Lord. Welcome him back into the family, into the fold. And in that offering He gave of His Son, we now have the blood of Christ to be able to mark us as cleansed of our sins. It's not a physical marking, but a spiritual one, that He can see and say, "You are forgiven. You have been marked. You are a child of mine. You are my people. You are forgiven." Leprosy is a graphic and very real representation of what sin does for us and does to us. The curse of leprosy was systematic in how it operated. The disease was observable, horrible, as we see, required divine help to get and obtain pure relief. And when sin is in our souls and in our spirit, we become in that same state of a leprous person. Our only hope is to reach out to Christ for mercy, as the leprous man did in Mark chapter 1, and ask and say, "If you are willing, Lord, please cleanse me of my state. Cleanse me of my sins, because only He and He alone can do so for us." Lepers lived in a prison created by their disease. They were unable to be fully in the presence of their brethren, could not worship as they know they needed to, and was living a very painful, long-lasting death sentence. This was terrible. Nobody would have wished this on their worst enemies. But yet it is nothing compared to what a sentence of spiritual death, spiritual leprosy will bring on you. To be cut off from God for all eternity, forced out of His camp, out of His house, out of His people, away from His grace, His mercy, His joy, and His peace. It's a terrible state to live in. But only Christ's sacrifice for us can bring us that sweet spiritual relief that we're all seeking for living sinful lives. I hope that tonight we can all say with confidence in our hearts that I am made better, that I have been made whole and pure and cleansed, because I have found the perfect and only cure for my case of spiritual leprosy. If you need that cure tonight, if you need to make your life right with God, or make your life right with the family here, we offer this chance now as we come forward and as we sing.